नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयम्
उदीरय
नस्तप्रेयस्वभद्रेषु दिव्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नास्तिके. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, sorry, Chapter 48, and that's 26. Please repeat.
कपन्दिरस्तत् अवपरं शरणं समीयात् भक्तप्रियार्थ गिर सुहृद कृतज्ञान् सर्वान् ददाति सुहृदो भजतो विकामान् आत्मानम् अपि उपचाया पचयौ नयस्य पण्डितस्त्वत् अपरं शरणं समीयात् भक्तप्रियार्थगिरा सुहृदकृतज्ञान् सर्वान् ददाति सुहृदो भजतो विकामान् आत्मानम् अपि उपचयापचौ नयस्य पण्डितस्त्वत् अपरं शरणं समीयात् भक्तप्रियागिर सुहृदकृतज्ञान् सर्वान् ददाति सुहृदो भजतो विकामान् आत्मानम् अपि उपचया पचयौ नयस्य
प्लीज रिपीट
का
वाट
Panditaha,
Panditaha,
scholar,
twat,
other than you, aparam,
to another,
sharanam, for shelter,
samiyat,
would go,
bhakta,
to your devotees,
priya,
affectionate,
ritha,
always true,
gira,
whose words,
suhurda,
the well-wisher,
Kirtanyat,
grateful,
Sarvan,
all,
Dadati,
you give,
Suhurda,
to your well-wishing devotees,
Bhajata,
who are engaged in worshipping you,
Abhikaman,
desires,
Atmanam,
yourself,
Api,
even,
Upachaya,
increase,
Apachayau,
or diminution,
Na,
never,
Yasya,
whose. Translation and purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jai. Please repeat.
What learned person
would approach anyone,
but you for shelter,
when you are the affectionate,
grateful and truthful well-wisher
of your devotees,
to those who worship you
in sincere friendship,
you reward everything they desire,
even your own self.
Yet you never increase or diminish.
This verse describes both the Lord and His devotees as suhurdaha,
well-wishers.
The Lord is the well-wisher of His devotee, and the devotee lovingly desires all happiness for the Lord. Even in this world, an excess of love may sometimes produce unnecessary solicitude. For example, we often observe that a mother's loving concern for an adult child is not always justified by an actual danger to the child. A grown child may be wealthy, competent and healthy, and yet the mother's loving concern continues. Similarly, a pure devotee always feels loving concerns for Lord Krishna, as exemplified by Mother Yashoda, who could only think of Krishna as a beautiful son. Lord Krishna had promised Akrura that after killing Kamsa, he would visit his home, and now the Lord kept his promise. Akrura recognizes this and glorifies the Lord as Ritagriha, one who is true to his word. The Lord is Kritanya, grateful for whatever little worship a devotee offers. And even if the devotee forgets, the Lord does not. Om Jnana Timurandha Singh, Jnana Jnana Salati, Chakshurunamata, Tasmi Sri Guru Namata, Moosvadaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhuti, Srimati Jitta, Swami Jnana, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Dauravani Kachani, Mishishan Vibhasvati Jisan, Jesri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Vedirada, Sri Vedirada, Sri Vedirada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. For those of you who are new today, we are in this particular chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the story of Lord Krishna, the life and times of Lord Krishna. Anyway, in this particular chapter is known as Krishna Pleases His Devotees. So in this particular chapter we read first about Kubja. He pleases Kubja. Then, and for those who do not know who Kubja is a hunchback woman. When now Krishna is entering from Vrindavan, now he is going to Mathura. Mathura is the royal city. That's where the evil king Kamsa is ruling the place. And the evil king Kamsa has planned to kill Krishna, invites them for some sport. And Akrura, being the uncle of Krishna, he sends Akrura. Because he knows if I send somebody else, Krishna might smell a rat and he might not come. But I'll send his own uncle and then Krishna will fall into the trap. So that was his idea, you know. This is all very material. Of course, Krishna is all-knowing and he pretends that everything is, you know, he's innocent about all these things and he comes to Mathura. While entering the gates of Mathura, there is a hunchback woman whose name was Kubja. This woman, her job is to, you know, supply scented oils to the royal household, which means she supplies the scented oils to King Kamsa. But on seeing Krishna, this old lady was so amazed and so attracted by the beauty of Krishna, and she went forward and she applied the sandalwood paste on him and scented oil on him to please Krishna. And Krishna was pleased. And what did Krishna do? He just lifted her with both the hands. He touched her chin like that and he just lifted like that. Crack, 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 crack. Maybe there were some sounds. But the hunchback now not only became straightened, she became a beautiful lady, extremely beautiful. And she invites Krishna, you must come home. So this particular chapter we read about how Krishna, to please the devotee, he goes and visits Kubja. Then, to please Akrura, this is why this chapter is known as Krishna Pleases His Devotees. He goes to Akrura's house. He goes with Balaram and he goes with Uddhava also. All three of them go. And Akrura, on seeing Krishna there, and then he sings out his praises. Now, what we are just reading is Akrura's prayers to Krishna. Now, these prayers are very important. I will speak about the prayers later on. Not only that, now he is pleasing Kubja, Akrura. And then finally, towards the end of the chapter, he tells Akrura, he is also concerned about some very important devotees. And who are these devotees? The Pandavas. That sounded like Bhima. So Pandavas because he has heard that the Pandavas are in Hastinapura, King Dhritarashtra is in charge, the blind king, and he is very, very affectionate towards his elder son, Duryodhan. And Duryodhan is creating a lot of problems for the Pandavas, so he is aware of that. And so he tells Akrura, you have to go to Hastinapura and check on what is happening and keep me informed. So that's what this chapter is about. Now we'll go back to Kubja. You just heard about what happened to Kubja, a person who was hunchback and old by the mercy of Krishna because she wanted to please Krishna. And she became a beautiful young damsel. So when she goes in, the details are here before, how when he comes to the house and Kubja arranges everything so beautifully. And Kubja was embraced by the Lord. When Krishna embraces the Lord, when the Lord embraces Kubja, and all the desires were satisfied. Now, we have to understand a certain thing here, Kubja's mood, that mood to satisfy or to please Krishna is known as Riramsa. It's a new word, Riramsa, which means desire to taste Krishna. But in this particular instance, she wanted to taste Krishna for her own sense gratification. She wanted Krishna for herself. She wanted to enjoy Krishna. Now, Riramsa can be of two types. One is when you want to enjoy Krishna for your own desire. The other one is when you want to taste Krishna so that Krishna will enjoy you. That is the difference. The gopis were in that mood, they couldn't be bothered about themselves. As long as Krishna was enjoying himself, so much so that it is not necessary that's why they had assistance too. When Krishna and Radharani there are other gopis around them, making sure that everything is comfortable for them. They were not envious about it. You can't imagine. I mean, these are concepts we can't imagine in the material thing. You know, it becomes so vulgar. But anyway, back to the story. So what happens is, there are two types. One is when you are trying to please Krishna for your own satisfaction. One is trying to please Krishna for his satisfaction. Of course, that is higher. Now, somebody who follows this by the principles very, very greater, like Kubja, if you follow, you're not. Kubja was there and he told his desire, she told his desire and he fulfilled it. Now, somebody here might have the same desire. But Krishna is not going to come and say, okay, where is the address? I'm coming home today. You know, he's not going to do that. So what happens to you? But if you follow what the Shastra says, if you follow the principles, the Vaidic principles properly, then you could become a queen of Dwaraka. Because that is the highest you can go. I mean, it's not easy to become a queen of Dwaraka, which means you become Krishna's queen. Because there is marriage involved. You know, in a marriage, there is always, you know, there is satisfaction on both sides sort of thing. I'd rather not describe, when I explain, it becomes more confusing to everybody, including myself. So, what I'm saying is here, you can become one of Krishna's queens. But, if you're in the other mode, where you just want to do things for Krishna's satisfaction, then it is stated that you can reach Vraja Bhava. That means you can reach the feeling or the state of consciousness of the Vraja maidens or the gopis, or the gopi bhava you can call it. Now that's how these things have been explained. Now, having said all this, of course these things are not, it's a very, very high transcendental state and it's very, very difficult to understand, and in fact if you ask me, we shouldn't go there at all. Because even to become a dasya, this is all madhurya, very, very high platform. Even to become a dasya, to become a servant of Krishna, that is already too difficult for us. You know, that is the reality. Now, next we have Akrura. Like I said, Akrura is offering prayers. Now, these prayers are very, very important. Sometimes we look for evidence to say, how is Krishna God? And, you know, so we look at various places to say, you know, to establish Krishna as God, a Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Akrura's prayers here, there is so much of Sastric evidence. I mean, he himself is giving so much of information To say that Krishna is supreme, he said, you are the supreme personality of God, you're God himself, you're the original cause, you're all pervasive. He says there is no cause or effect on you. Generally, they call it the pot and the potter. This is how, in the Vedic thing, it is explained. Supposing you see a pot, then what can you deduce? That there was a potter who made it. Likewise, even if it's a, what you call a stainless steel tumbler like this, there is a stainless steel company that produces it. Likewise, a kartal or something like that. This watch is made by some other company. So everything that you see, if there is something, an effect, there must be a cause. So sometimes these Mayavadis, they think they are God. They have dared to sit in front of Prabhupada and also talk like that. What are you talking about? I'm already there. I am God. That was the conclusion. Then Prabhupada used to smash very easily. Did you make this? Did you make this tape recorder? No. Then you're not God. God means he must make everything. You didn't make this one, so you're not God. Even in a simple way, he used to smash them. Forget about the whole world. Did you make the whole world? You say you're God, and the smallest little toothache, and then you're running to a dentist. I can't go all night. I couldn't sleep, doctor. Please do something. So what's happening? This is God. Anyway, so what we have to understand here, cause and effect. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this. There is Brahma Sutra Padasteva Vinishchitai, which means he says that in the cause and effect, Brahma Sutra basically discuss about this cause and effect. But what we have to understand is, that God has got no cause. Sometimes they'll say, you say cause and effect. Who created the world? God. Then the trick question, who created God? I caught you with the question. That's what they say. But the definition of God is one who does not have a cause. You cannot tell a mother, can you be a mother without a child? The definition of mother means you must have child. You can't say, can you do that? So anyway, the definition of God is God is no cause. That's what we say, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadiyadi God, Sarva Karana Karana. He is the cause for all causes, but he has no cause. That is the definition of God. Now, and then he also very clearly says that the living entities and God are separate. Akrura. So if we want evidence to prove that impersonalism is wrong, Akrura says that. He says, not only you're one with or equal with Krishna. You're not one equal. You're part and parcel. But that's all. You're not one with or equal. Very, very clearly he says that. So, to think that you're equal or one with Krishna or God is a mistake. He says that. And of course, he says so many things, but I'm just telling you, probably you've read every day and you're reading every day about these things. And then, generally understand by Krishna as Krishna is the supreme controller. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and Krishna is the supreme friend. Because these three things are very, very important. We like to control. We all have our spheres of control. And when somebody comes close to the sphere of control, there is already, what happens? There is a tiff already, and the fight starts. Even between husband and wife, they keep their space, as they call it. And when there is a cross of space, then the war starts. So anyway, we all have this controlling tendency. Ishvara Bhav, it's known as Ishvara Bhav. We have this controlling tendency. We have this enjoying tendency. Only thing is, we enjoy pervertedly. We don't understand what is enjoyment. We are trying to please the senses and then getting into trouble. But if we can please the soul, and then you'll be happy forever. And then we also try to be friends, is it not? We all of us like to be friends. We want to help your neighbors in trouble. Yes, Prabhu, can I help you? Even otherwise, the whole of human society, there's so many, save the whale, save this, save. There are so many things going on. There is Rotary Club, Lions Club, and Say this, said that every kind of club is going on. Why? Because that nature to help your friend. But the Vedas are very clearly saying that the supreme controller is Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Of all the controllers, Krishna is supreme. And then he is a supreme enjoyer. Govindam Adi Purusham Samam Bhajami. Govinda, he is the Adi Purusha, he is the supreme enjoyer. And then he don't say the supreme friend, Suhurdam Sarva Bhutanam, he says in the Bhagavad Gita. I am the friend of everyone. Who can be a better friend? Because today is your friend, tomorrow is your enemy. Who is your enemy actually? Who becomes your enemy? You analyze and say, it's your friend who becomes your enemy. It's your wife. It is the worst enemy probably will be your, I mean when I say your wife, Matajis must understand that for them it is the husband, okay? Don't think that I'm only, you know, when you know, then they say, you know, in very often it says, woman is Maya, people misunderstand. Because who are the sages speaking rishis? They're all men. Who are the sages asking questions? They're all men. Whether it's in whatever. So when for them it's an assembly of men. So in an assembly of men, so what is Maya? Woman is a Maya. In an assembly of women, who is Maya? Yeah, man is Maya. Of course, you all know men can be terrible. So it is. So that is. So Krishna. But the point is to identify yourself as a man and to identify yourself as a woman. I am a woman. I want right. That is material. You have to identify yourself as spirit soul. Beyond that. That is spiritual. Of course, identification is not easy, but with practice you'll get somewhere, someplace. Now, having said that, now what is all this knowledge? What are we talking about? Okay, come on, what is happening? What is this knowledge you're discussing here? So, in philosophy, not only in philosophy, total knowledge, what's happening around the world? There are three aspects that are being discussed. What is known in Sanskrit or Vedic literature is Achit, Chit and Ishvara, which means matter, spirit and controller. Matter, this material world, material nature. Spirit, the jivas, you and I, the birds and the bees and all the animals put together. They are the jivas. And then Ishvara. You can call it God, you can call it Christ, or you can call it Allah, whatever you want. Depending on what you have been taught, there is a controller. So there is material world, there is living entity like us, and then there. So what is the interaction? That is basically knowledge. What you are talking about, we don't study this in universities. We have all been graduates. No, you do it. If you are going to a university for your education, what you are studying about basically, physics and chemistry, is all about a material world and material nature. Laws of nature, they call it, or material nature. You study that, and probably biology is studying something about habits of the living entities. And philosophers, they indulge in understanding, trying to understanding the supreme controller. Now, what it says very, very clearly is that this living entity, he is known as Sadasya Sakti, he is very attracted by the material energy. You have to understand that Achit is, in fact, this we are trapped by this material body. Because we are trapped by the material body, we tend to think in a very material way. It is said that the soul is like a light bulb, a globe, and its heat or its light is considered as the consciousness. There is a bulb, you put on the switch, there is a bulb, and you put on the switch, you get light, you get heat. Similarly, there is soul within you and the effulgence is known as consciousness. But this consciousness, because it falsely identifies with the body, which is material, tends to make you think materially. So, you know, very often know that you've been discussed that, you know, this body is like a machine. So what does this machine do? It looks at another machine. Oh, that machine is very attractive. Maybe I should get to understand, get to close to the machine. You know? Like that, what I'm trying to say is this is a male machine, attracted by a female machine, and comes together, and thinking it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, initially there's a lot of fun. After that, I can tell you there's no fun. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that the living entity identifying with the material nature, material body, gets attracted to the material energy, and by doing so, tries to make himself happy by that. Now, very clearly it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned, when you turn away from Krishna, Krishna bahirmukahana bhogavanchita. What happens is, when you turn away from Krishna, you get attracted by this material energy. So what happens if you are attracted by material energy? You should turn away towards Krishna. Otherwise, what happens? He wants that Maya japati atare, he says, which means Maya slaps you down. You think you're in charge. You said, yes, Maya said, yeah, you're in charge. You think you're in charge, you think in charge. Suddenly, before you can realize it, you have a big knock. Anyway, what basically is the understanding is your trap, and the way to escape is by serving Krishna. So basically what happens when you serve Krishna, not only Krishna serves you, Krishna serves you. You have seen it. Krishna, Arjuna is serving Krishna. What happens? Arjuna is there in the battlefield. Who is driving the chariot? Krishna is driving the chariot for him. He becomes a driver. God, when you serve him, he serves you. This is a concept that other religions might not be able to comprehend, or you might think even it's silly. But that's what's happening. And because, like I said, he's the supreme friend, he has to relate to you. Now, not only when you serve Krishna, he serves you, and so his servants too. So material nature is a servant of Krishna. So when Krishna serves you, automatically the material nature serves you. I remember once when I went to Dwaraka, we were going to Dwaraka, we stayed in a very rich industrialist place somewhere in Ahmedabad. And this man is, you know, he's got a huge palatial thing, and we went there, it's unbelievable. I mean, he was there, he himself was opening the car door for us, and if he was running around like that, his manager was even running. They got a huge, some steel factory and all that. And you could imagine the manager was running around like that. And if the manager was running around like that, can you imagine the servants? There are about 20, 30 servants. When you went to have prasad, one person is pulling the chair for you, one person bringing water for you, one person holding a towel for you. Of course, this is too much, but you know, what to do? You know? When in Rome, do as the Romans do. So, just sit down and do whatever. But what my point is, when the boss is serving you, the servants automatically serve you. When Krishna is serving you, then material nature serves you. But when you try to enjoy material nature, this one really gets into a big problem. Now, in this instance, I want to tell a story about, and I like telling stories, Vyasa Tirtha. Now, Vyasa Tirtha comes from the Madhvacharya line. In fact, Vyasa Tirtha we all know, because if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, in the disciplic succession, Srila Vyasa Tirtha is the 18th in the list. And after Vyasa Tirtha, 19th is Lakshmipadi. And after Lakshmipadi, now this person you all know, Madhavendra Puri. Now Madhavendra Puri, his disciple is Ishvara Puri. Not only Ishvara Puri, is also Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. They also are his disciples. And the disciple of Ishvara Puri is Mahaprabhu. So that's a connection. Now, we have to know, sometimes we don't know. So here, now, Sri Vyasa Tirtha, because what I'm saying is, when you serve Krishna, then Maya will serve you. Now, I'm trying to bring a story in Vyasa Tirtha's life to explain this point. Now, what's the point? Now, Vyasaraya, of course, I want to be brief. So, Vyasaraya was the Rajaguru, this king. There was this king. It was known as the Vijayanagara Empire, Samrajya. Vijayanagara Samrajya. And Vyasaraya was the Rajaguru. He was the spiritual advisor to the, there may be some other term, the royal advisor, spiritual advisor, whatever, and to the king. So what happened was, this king, and they had these astrologers, and they had a look at his astrology, and they found out that at a particular period, the king of that empire will, because of the position of the planets, the planetary position was so bad that the king will be burned to death. That was the conclusion. You know, in astrology, you can do an individual astrology, okay? You can do an astrology for the person, you can do an astrology for the place, for the country, for the king. You know, it's like that. Whoever is the king, he suffers that way. So in this particular instance, the king is suffering for certain reasons and he'll be burned to death. So, and now this king, his name was Krishna Devaraya. They all Vaishnavas, they were great Vaishnavas. Krishna Devaraya, he had appointed that Vyasatirtha as the as a Rajaguru. So he sought advice now what to do. And Vyasatirtha said, not to worry. Abandon your throne. Give it to me. I become the king. He took over. He said, you give it to me and I'll... So, it is cited that never in the history has this taken place. A king like that and, you know, a brahmana or a priest comes and takes over the kingdom. He takes over the kingdom and is ruling. Ruling, Vyasatirtha is ruling as the king of Vijayanagara Empire. And one day, at the appropriate time, a snake enters into the court. And Vyasraya has a shawl, a saffron shawl and saffron, and he throws it across onto the snake. As soon as the shawl falls onto the snake, the whole thing is burnt. The shawl is burnt. The fire is coming in the form of a snake, and then it is. And then after that, which means whatever was coming was blocked by Vyasatirtha, and afterwards the kingdom was given back to Krishna Devaraya. So, see, that what I'm trying to say is that if you worship Krishna, or if you become a devotee, even material nature will protect you. You go on a car, you go on a motorbike, you might fall, but you might not die. You have heard, I mean, there are so many instances in Malaysia, and even in India, Morarji Desai went on a plane, the plane crashed, but he was walking. 80-year-old man walked out of a plane crash. Everybody else can die, but you don't die. You know? So you can't explain. People will say, oh, you are sentimental. No. You better be, you know, we have to think. It's very easy. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is happening by design. Nothing happens by chance. We're just imagining that. So, but we have to be careful too, you know, because you have to be very elevated. Now you can't say, you all are Hare Krishna devotees, you know, material nature will listen to us. No. When prasadam time, be careful. You are young, it's alright. Otherwise, Prabhu, when you are 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, it's fine. After that, you will get all the diseases. They will say, Prabhu, never mind Prabhu, it's prasadam only you take, then you will get hypercholesterolemia, you will get diabetes, you will get heart attacks. And then he said, you told me, Hare Krishna, you play to Krishna, Mati Maya. No, you have to be careful. Because, why? You're not there. We say, in Bhakti Yoga, we don't ask for what? Liberation. That's for them. We don't ask, only if we have it. You know what I mean? So people who say, when Bhaktivinoda Thakura, you know, Prabhupada says we don't want liberation, they have it. We don't have nothing. Even our own wives won't even listen to us. We don't even own our wives. That's our state. And like I said before, Mataji's mother, we don't even own our husbands, okay? My husband will never listen to me. So the point, what I'm trying to say is, we are not there. Only when you're there you can renounce. How can you renounce what you don't even have? For us, we must think we want liberation. That, if you think that you want liberation, then only at least you'll do your sadhana properly. And then you'll say, you know, I must stay away, I must finish my rounds and I must stay away from coffee or tea. Otherwise, I'm birthday party, Prabhu, one coffee came. Never mind, Prabhu, Krishna won't mind. You know, all this will start. Anyway, I am, you know, bhakti yogi, I liberation is already granted. No, we can't. We need to say that, you know, for your sadhana, not for anything else. Now, so that was the story of, so like that. And also we have to be careful on so many other issues like that, you know, as devotees, we are what is known as sadhakas. We are aspirants, we are rookies. We are just in the training program. We have not graduated yet. This is a training program for all of us. Now, having said all this, now somebody might say, you know, okay, men ought to believe and all. Don't worry, we are coming to that. Now, we have a great personality of today's times. His name is Richard Dawkins. He is now the new sensation in town. I don't know how many of you have heard of Richard Dawkins. Now, he is now the world's most prominent atheist. He's creating sensation, creating waves, and he's actually in the Oxford University or something like that. I didn't care to find out about his biodata, what exactly he's doing in Oxford University, but I know he's a big, big guy there in the university. And he, what happens is, and he has written this great book called The God Delusion. He says the whole concept of God is a delusion. And he goes on substantiating, saying that from the Crusades to 9/11, what has religion given us? Only problems. So that is his conclusion. And what he's saying is, believe in God. I want to quote verbatim. Believe in God is not just wrong, but potentially deadly. That is his conclusion. You want to believe in God, you're a fool, it's wrong. Not only that, it's deadly for you. You know, that's, you see? And this is a challenge because he goes around speaking to universities and there's half the crowd is, you know, like cheering for him, while the other half of the crowd also can't help, you know, what to say because he's so powerful. He's a very, very great orator. And his biggest thing is, his challenge is, he knows God and the whole thing is evolution. This theory of evolution is now given a new form by this Richard Dawkins. And it's like the young people in the US and in the UK are taking it up so well. They think, oh, this is fantastic. And, but what we have to know, in fact, his conclusion, yes, he has studied a little bit, from what I can see, he has studied a little bit of Bible, and he probably has read a little bit of, anyway, if you have read the Bible, the Old Testament, it's the same for Islam and Judaism. That means creation, how God created and all that. So if you'll find that creation is very, very sketchy in this Vedic text, I mean in the non-Vedic text. I'm not trying to ridicule, I'm not trying to dishonor the text, but what I'm saying is that it is not in detail. And so he comes to the conclusion, for instance he says that 10,000 years ago, to believe that 10,000 years ago there was nothing is because that's how it says. Christ was born 2,000 years ago and creation took about 3,000 over years ago. So he gives another 5,000 years. 10,000 years ago, there was nothing. 10,000 years ago, there was nothing. And he says, so he's very, very strong on it, you know. Because, I mean, even we can't believe it. We know about, you know, Jurassic Park. The Jurassic era, where, you know, 40 million years ago, we talk about dinosaurs and we talk about so many different kinds of creatures which existed millions and millions and millions of years ago. And you talk about in the Bible or Quran or whatever, they only talk about creation in a few thousand years ago. How do you? I mean, you go to a museum, they got this huge animal there, lived 200 million years ago. So how do you explain? So he's very, very confident with this. But he doesn't understand that the Vedic philosophy is not the same. It doesn't explain all these things and even more. And we have got Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, and then it goes in cycles and cycles and cycles. Brahma's creation billions of years ago. He can satisfy him if he has the time and if he has got the inclination to inquire further. Anyway, basically, Nastic. That's what is the Veda says. Vedas talk about philosophy, Nastic and Astic. Nastic means atheistic, you can say. In the Nastic philosophy, we've got Charvakas. Charvakas Lokayata, that is the materialistic philosophy that people talk about, people are so much into. That means Charvaka says, borrow money, buy ghee and eat nicely. So tomorrow if you die, who cares? Even you don't pay that fella, you know, you don't. That's a Sarvaka's philosophy. Now, Nastik is also Jainism and Buddhism is also considered Nastik because they're not based on the Vedas and they reject the Vedas. And all three religions do not accept a personal God. So they all come under atheistic. So if Mr. Richard Dawkins wants to do information about God not being there, who should he ask? He should ask God himself. God himself comes as Buddha and explains that he is not existing. You have to understand. So look at the... And nobody can explain. Who can explain better? Who can explain better than God himself that he does not exist? Only God can. But if you have common sense, then you know, if he can explain, then he exists. That is the conclusion. And the Astic philosophies, they are known as the Shat Darshanas. They are known as Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Shankhya, Yoga, Karma Mimamsa, and Uttara Mimamsa. This, of course, we won't delve into the subject matter. It is all becoming too much for us. And these systems of philosophy explain about God. Not really, but until you come to Uttara Mimamsa, which is Vedanta, which is what we are discussing. This is Vedanta. Srila Prabhupada is known as A.C. Bhakti Vedanta. He's just not a Vedantist, he's a Bhakti Vedantist. This is a fantastic thing. Anyway, now coming back to the story. So what Mr. Dawkins doesn't understand is man does not live by bread alone. You can't live by bread alone. You want music, isn't it? You want drama, you want art, you want literature. You want to see Shah Rukh Khan, you want to see Salman Khan, you want to do all this. Or you want to see Tom Hank, whatever. Now, what I'm saying is, you can't, the human mind is such that your senses need to be satisfied. Not only that, your intelligence needs to be satisfied. That's why we need literature. Like that. So, and what he says is, we have to be rational. Don't be sentimental, believe in all this stupidity, put some, some people will come there, what are all these dolls doing here? Barbie doll would be better. Or something like that. They don't understand the concept. You know, they think this is sentimental and you have to be rational and reject all the stupidity, jumping up and down and all the kind of thing. Now, what he doesn't understand is a rational person, an intelligent person, cannot even give up a simple thing like smoking. I've got friends who are doctors. One guy is an ENT smoker. He smokes like a chimney. A ear, nose, throat specialist should know better than anybody else not to smoke. But he smokes like a chimney. Why? Helplessly though. Of course, all this you know, because you can't control the senses. You can't control. You're going backwards. You know, it is the servants and the manager and the boss. But it's all the other way around now. You know, the boss, the manager, and the servants. But it's all going in the reverse order. Supposing you're a rich man, and then you've got a treasurer like Prabhu, and then maybe one. Okay, let's treasurer alone. After some time, the big boss will ask the treasurer, "Report, Prabhu, can I see the account?" Not now. Why now? We'll see tomorrow. He becomes the boss. Because we allow it to happen. Similarly, what has happened is, the senses are controlling the mind is controlling the intelligence is controlling the false ego, and then the soul is suffering. And we are not understanding all this. Anyway, all that Mrs. Dawkins will not understand, but this is for us. We have to know that we are not sentimental. Our belief in God is not sentimental. In fact, it is more scientific than anything. But what I am trying to say, even a learned person cannot give up smoking. What happens to your intelligence? Your intelligence is lost. And how to revive your intelligence? That's the way. By devotional service to Krishna, you can do it. Now, the other things that are normal, the people are addicted to alcohol and drugs. Everybody is going for programs. The latest is Britney Spears. She's also gone for a program. Everybody goes to the alcohol and drugs. They don't know what to do. And then they're going for programs to save them. But, so other things like compassion to other living entities. Because there is We have a sensual area, a mental thing, an intellectual thing, but we also have a spiritual dimension within us. That spiritual dimension, we need sensual satisfaction, we need mental satisfaction, we need intellectual satisfaction. We also need spiritual satisfaction. Otherwise, your life will not be complete. Anyway, going back to the story, so much, even, you know, somebody says, I'm in charge of my life. Only thing is, just 2 weeks ago I divorced, my wife has left me. See, you can't even control your life. You can't do that. And interestingly enough, Mr. Dawkins himself is married 3 times. He's still looking for happiness. And he's still young. You know, how many more marriages will be on his way? And so they're looking for happiness in a different way, and they think they've got it. They think science is sentimental and religion is... they think science is religion is rational and science is... What I'm saying is religion is sentimental and science is rational. That's what they think. But in actual effect, religion is scientific. Isn't it? Religion is scientific and science is sentimental. The whole problem is they have a small head and they start speculating what happened billions of years ago. You can't even remember what did you have for breakfast yesterday. And you want to know what happened billions of years ago? Every time you'll be telling your wife, I don't know, where's the car key? I don't know where I put the car key. You can't even remember where you put... See, the whole problem is, with the limited mind and senses, you're trying to understand the unlimited. God is unlimited. You cannot understand. There are ways, pramanas, there is pratyaksha, anuman, sabda, there are methods. The Vedas explain how to understand these things. But you cannot simply speculate. That is the whole problem. Now, having said that, we understand that God has many, many energies. Parasya Sakti, Vibhidaiva Shriyate, it says, the Supreme Being has got variegated energies, so many energies. And the most important thing is His form, His pastimes, His energies, His entourage, His associates, they are all non-different from the Lord Himself. When you say Krishna, that is Krishna Himself. When you see the dairy form, that's Krishna Himself. In the Christian classes, when I went to Christian classes, they used to say, God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent, and God is omniscient. So omnipotent. Omnipotent means what? All powerful. So what do you mean by all powerful? That means even all his energies, everything is non-different from him. That's the meaning of omnipotent. Only after coming here to understand what is omnipotent. Now, what happens is he can change the energies. You must understand that the material energy is Krishna's energy. Now, the conditioned soul, like we, are in the illusionary. Because of the influence of this material energy, we are under illusion. But when you serve Krishna, he changes the energy now. This material energy now will help you in your path of self-realization. So, now, that is the problem and that's how the solution is. Now, finally, before I end, we want to know, because the whole thing is about Akrura. Akrura is offering the prayers. We heard so much about Akrura. So, we want to know who is Akrura. We want to know more about Akrura. Why is Akrura so special? Now, Akrura is the uncle of Krishna. That means, we are Vasudev and Kunti, they are all brothers and sisters. Whether they are biological blood brothers and sisters or by step brothers, I'm not very sure. But Akrura is the uncle of Krishna. Now, you all know about Akrura here, but Akrura had a special pastime with the Shyamantaka jewel. All of you know the story of Shyamantaka jewel. Now, he had a special leela as far as the Shyamantaka jewel is concerned. And this leela is explained in Padma Purana. It's a beautiful story. And I'll be as brief as possible here. So what happened is, there was this king whose name was Satrajit. He's a very, very famous king, Satrajit. And who was his friend? His friend was the sun god, Surya. Fantastic. He knows. So I thought nobody will know. These are all stories that have been told to me a long, long time. You know, nowadays people don't listen to all this.
Even if they want to see who is giving class, they all become political now. Those days, you know, everybody will sit and everybody is right, what's happening? I want to learn, and you know. So, I mean, in fact, that's fantastic. I was shocked. It was told to me so many years ago. I thought nobody will know. Satrajit and his friend Surya. So, when they were such good friends, and what did Surya, as friends, they were exchanging gifts, and Surya gave him a gift. That's a Samantaka jewel. This Samantaka jewel is a very, you know, the most important part of the jewel is when you worship daily, you get 8 loads of gold every day. Can you imagine? 8 loads of gold. The kingdom will never suffer. So, Samantaka jewel was given to Satrajit, and Satrajit was keeping it. One day, he was traveling by air over Dwaraka, and the Samantaka was shining so much. And the people of Dwaraka thought, wow, look at that. That is Vishnu, and that's Kaustubha. Vishnu has got a, you know, jewel on his body himself, and that is known as the Kaustubha gem. So they thought that it was the Kaustubha. And so Krishna has realized, and the whole, there was a lot of excitement in his city, and I see Satrajit has got a fantastic jewel. Alright, my people are so excited about it, I should get it. So Krishna goes to Satrajit and says, hey, how about giving me this jewel? So, of course, Krishna is not fighting with him. Krishna is asking, this is a whole Leela. Leela means pastime. And Krishna and Satrajit, no way. So Krishna, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. You know, Krishna is trying to make a deal. All kinds of things he wants to give him. Still, no deal. So no deal, he said, alright, forget it. And he goes away. Now what happens is, one day, the king, Satrajit's brother, his name is Prasena. Prasena takes this Samantaka jewel on his body because it will protect him. He's going hunting. So he goes on a hunting mission. On the way, what happens is a lion attacks this Prasena, and while in the attack, the story is like that the jewel actually falls onto the neck of the lion. And so now the lion is trotting around with this, with Samantaka on his body, and there lies the dead Prasena. And at this time, there is Jambavan. Jambavan is a character that in Puranas or in the Vedas, he is existing from all time, from the beginning till end. You know, he is one person. He'll be in every incarnation, every avatar of Krishna. He is there. Only thing is, you'll find that he was very young and very excited. You know the creation of Jambavan. I don't know whether you know. When, you know, the Madhu and Kaitaba, the asuras were fighting, and there were sweat beads coming out of Brahma and goes into the loins, and from that Jambavan comes. You know, Brahma is supposed to be seen Madhu and Kaitaba, and he was in anxiety, and there were sweat beads on him. And from the sweat beads, this Jambavan is supposed to have been created. And of course, after that Vishnu comes in, and Vishnu destroys Madhu and Kaitaba. Anyway, this Jambavan is very young and very, very powerful entity. He's one of the most powerful entities. When he is very young, up to the avatar of Vamana, till Vamana is very young. And when Bali Maharaja is sent to, you know, when Vamana takes the 3 steps, and the 3rd step he sends Bali Maharaja to the Patala Loka, then what happened, Jambavan is going, you know, it is said that within a couple of minutes, you know, he goes to the 3 worlds 18 times and telling, you know, that Jai, Vamana Ki Jai, and you know, that Vamana was victorious in destroying Bali. While doing so, the tip of his toenail cracked the peak of Mahameru, the mountain. And Meru, the Mahameru, the personification, the controller was very annoyed and cursed him. Oh, you're so haughty, you're so arrogant, you got so much of. From now on, you can't travel as fast as your mind can. Before that, he can travel as far as his mind. You see? Now he's one like us. We are sitting here, sometimes we'll be sitting here, our mind will be going all over the place. When is this guy going to finish his class? After Prasadam, I have to do this, I go to St. Kilda, you know. Then after, maybe next year, maybe next week, India. Oh, my mother is there. You know, my mind goes on like that. So, he says, no more traveling as fast as your mind, as far as go. So, after that, he becomes an old man. In Ramayana, you'll find that he's a bear. Jambavan is a bear, and, you know. That's why in India they will say, you know, when a politician has stayed for long in power, they will say, he is a jambavan in politics, they will say. Because he remains so long. Anyway, coming back to the story. So Jambavan, he sees the lion with the Shamantaka and attacks the lion, kills the lion, takes the Shamantaka and is very happy. And he takes, and then what does he do? You know, he's got a cape and he's got children, he gives the Shamantaka and they're playing like a ball, they're playing with them. Now, all this happened, nobody knows. Then Satrajit is wondering, what happened to my brother? Where is he? He's lost. And then they said, okay, let's go and search for him. And then they look and finally they found the dead body of Prasena, but because he's wearing all his royal clothes. But the Shamantaka is not there. So they think, oh, somebody killed him and took the Shamantaka away. Now who is the first suspect? Because he's the one, we made a deal and there was no deal. So then, this is Krishna's work. He must have come and killed him. So, Krishna was accused. And then when Krishna hears, he is very disturbed. And when Krishna is accused, he says, alright, I will clear my name. I will go on a mission, find out who is this guy who killed him and bring back the Shamantaka. And so he goes on a mission. And then he says, Jambavan, of course everything is very exciting. Time is running short. People are walking away. And he sees this lion, I'm sorry, the lion is dead. He sees Jambavan's children playing with the Shamantaka. And then he said, hey, this is not yours. And Jambavan, who tells me, you know, I am Jambavan. And they big fight, fighting for days together. Finally, Jambavan loses. And then Krishna, Jambavati is married. Jambavan's daughter is Jambavati. Jambavati is given in marriage for Krishna. So he takes the Shamantaka. Now what does he do? He goes back to Satrajit and gives it to him. Here's the Shamantaka. I am not the culprit. The culprit is somebody else. And then Satrajit is so happy. Got back to Shamantaka. Oh, I have to do something for you. He says, yeah, marry my daughter. That is Satyabhama. Marry my daughter and give Satyabhama in marriage. And a dowry, please take the Shamantaka with you. But Krishna refuses. He says, no, I don't want that. So he refuses it as a dowry. So Satrajit gives it. At that time, now I said something to do with Akrura. We have not come to Akrura yet. What's happening? Where's Akrura today? Now, Akrura and another king by the name of Kritavarman, these two guys say, let's have some fun with this Satrajit and his Shamantaka. So they incite another king and his name was Satadhanva. He called Satadhanva and say, because this is sport, you know, Kshatriya sport. You know, why don't you go and fight and take it out, you know, get the jewel out of him. So, it's like that. And so, it's like what you have here, the foxes and the owls, and they have the football, footy matches. They go to fight, kill each other. That's the way they play. So, even if they are warriors, and this is sport for them. This is sport, but they'll act like warriors. So, when warriors have sport. So, what happens? And to make the story short, Satadhanva, he actually kills Satrajit and takes the Shamantaka. Now, Krishna hears about it. He's very angry because his father-in-law now, isn't it? The wife will be there. Oh, you're not doing anything about this. So, he has to fight. So, he says, I'm going after him. So, what happens is Krishna goes after Satadhanva. Now Satadhanva hears about Krishna coming, my fate is gone. I'm finished. So what it is, you know, you steal a property. What is the best way to get out of the problem? You give back the property and then run away. And then the people, okay, I got banned. Okay, never mind. You see? That is, so what he does, he takes the Shamantaka and gives to Akrura and Kritavarman. Here is the stuff. I'm going on pilgrimage. So he ran away. But Krishna and Balaram went, pursued and killed him. Because he killed Satrajit anyway. See, there's the whole thing, dharma. You know? You kill him, so they kill him. And then they come back to Akrura and Kritavarman. And then they discuss and they decide, this is the last line, decide that the Shamantaka should remain with Akrura. So the Shamantaka ended with Akrura. Of course it goes on, goes on. You know, then the Muslims came. I don't know what they did with the Shamantaka. And then the British came. Probably it's Queen Elizabeth's crown or somewhere. We don't know. But all that is history. History of India.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. If there are any questions,
comments.
Yes,